How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. And also Susie Ruffle with a jade roller.
Thank you. A great name for a drag queen.
Great drag name. Jade roller, yeah. Yeah.
Jade roller. So I've got a jade roller. I don't think they do very much, but I'm giving it a go.
Hey, you are doing it. You are... Well, all I'll say is, listeners, if you need someone to repaint your hallway, then... I think we've got the perfect candidate. You are very... You're not hanging around with that rolling.
Well, you know what I'm like, Tom. I don't like to mess about. I've got to get it done.
Get it done. Roll.
You're meant to do 10 minutes a day. I think I can do that in 7.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Fine. Just get it done.
Oh, so you do it for an amount of time.
Apparently so. I don't know what to do.
And you go up and down. Because you're going up and down. Literally, you are like painting your face. Like, you're emulsioning.
Yeah, just putting on a light mat.
Yeah. Well... What are you going to do about the radiator? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it does anything. It's the sort of things that an influencer would have, isn't it? A jade roller.
Well, you're an influencer.
Do I influence you?
Oh, 100%. Yes. Look, I'm wearing the same top as you. I've got a stripy t-shirt.
I need to tell the listener, Tom, oh, I've put some light on the subject. That is better, isn't it?
Well, I just thought your room had just exploded. It just like glowed with orange for a moment there.
I'm coming straight from a nuclear power plant.
She really loved Oppenheimer so much. She really great in the spare bedroom.
Have you seen the Barbie film yet?
No, I haven't seen either of them because...
Barbie feels very up Alfie's boulevard.
Yes, well, but the problem is he doesn't like going when there's lots of people in the cinema. And it was chock-a-block all weekend.
Why doesn't he like going when there's people in the cinema?
Well, a number of reasons. He doesn't like people eating in the cinema. He doesn't like... He wants to ban it. He wants to ban popcorn. And also he doesn't like... watches go off when people get messages, it distracts him. So he gets annoyed. So he doesn't want to go when it's busy. He likes going in the day, but when everybody's at work, so he gets the cinema to himself.
I do understand that.
Because there's talk of people clapping during the Barbie movie.
Oh, well, I imagine you have very strong feelings on that.
Well, who are you clapping for? I mean, it's a light with a...
The operator of the projector, yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. No,
Tom, we can't just talk about jade rolling and whether or not it's making me A, younger and B, healthier in the face.
Very much.
Did someone have a West End run last week?
Look, I had a pop on cameo. That's all it was.
Pop on cam.
And lovely time. Just was the narrator in a wonderful show called Bleak Expectations, which I did the radio version of about 17 years ago, literally.
Is it as long as that?
When we started it, yeah, can you believe?
Tom.
We've changed. That's why we need jade rollers.
Yes. So talk to me. How was it? Was it fun? You texted me to say that you were very nervous.
I was very nervous, you know, on the first night.
See, that surprises me. You're such an adept performer. And you do so much stuff live. You do radio live, you do stand-up, obviously. You've done live TV. But what were you worried about?
Well, all of those formats are ones in which you feel like you can sort of mess around a bit more.
Oh, yeah, no messing around in the West End.
It's the theatre, isn't it, love?
You've got to respect
it. Theatre, love. Yeah, so you've got to respect it, love.
And you want to be a grand dame.
Yeah, yeah. So, which of course I do.
Of course.
But then I didn't realise I could do a bit at the beginning because the narrator walks out at the beginning to welcome it, to say hello. And I thought they wanted me to just get on with the play. But I felt a lot less nervous because actually it turned out that I could just enjoy it. And I had a lovely time. And I think with that sort of, it's written very brilliantly by Mark Evans, and the cast all play it perfectly because they'll play it quite straight. And so I didn't want to I didn't want to upset that. You know, I didn't want to be like, oh, what about me?
And you don't want to undermine it, do you?
No.
You don't want to feel like, oh, he's coming and showing off.
Yes, because that would be like, my friend Sarah Campbell, brilliant writer.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
She says it's like putting a hat on a hat if you do that. So I think it's going to be...
That's great. You know,
it's a funny concept. And then you try and be funny on top of it. You don't... So, but what it meant was when I could do a bit at the beginning, I was like, welcome. Then I could be myself. And then I could go into the role, which was working fine anyway, just being in the role. But it just made me a lot less nervous in myself to have a moment at the beginning. But it was... Anyway, it was great fun.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. Wonderful.
What did you wear? Did you wear something Dickensian?
They gave me a selection of some salmon pants, actually. Not made of salmon. But a salmon colour, yes.
Were you constantly trying to go upstream?
Yes, I was, actually, funnily enough. Yeah. And
as is your way.
As is my way. I mean, look, I don't want to go to the cinema when other people are there.
Fair enough.
We're all swimming upstream, aren't we?
But I must say as well, you've still got that lovely holiday glow. So I imagine you were taking that on stage every night.
I don't know how I'm keeping it. I chopped it up a bit last week in the garden.
I thought you were going to say on a sunbed.
No, it's spray not tan. 1987. No, not a spray tan. That's the healthy way to get a tan.
Do you know, a couple of my friends who came to Beefa with me.
Oh, well, they we've got to talk about this.
They had spray tans.
Oh, right.
And someone comes around with a tent.
Mm.
And pops a tent up.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
In your house, can be anywhere. She did it in a hallway.
Bus station, okay.
That sort of thing. And then you're sort of nude inside.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they just spray you.
Well, they don't see your bits.
I think they probably do, Tom. But I think they're so used to bits.
That's the thing, isn't
it? They're probably fine with it. I think if you were a fella, you might want to put
maybe
the crown
some
jewels away.
Yeah, maybe some paper ones. A nurse once
paper
said
drawers.
To me,
and, oh, go
a nurse,
on.
A nurse once said to me,
"Can I take a photo of that? It's unusual." It's always been that colour.
He didn't say that. He said, "It's all elbows and ears to me. Ears and elbows to me. It's all ears and elbows." And I thought that's good, you know, because they see bits like. Ears and elbows.
That's the thing. You get worried about that sort of thing. It's like when you go for a smear, Tom. I mean, I've discussed it.
Well, of course.
At great length.
You are
the
big authority on smear tests now.
A raconteur, if you will.
A raconteur, if you will. The greatest.
A racon-smear. Living...
Yeah.
That's when you tell a great story whilst having your smear test.
Oh, they'd say that, yeah. What you can't do with a microphone stand is nobody's business.
Well, thank you for saying that, Tom. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
But... there is a moment where you do feel very exposed because they give you a little, you know, like that paper that you used to have to wipe your hands with after an art lesson in primary school.
It's the blue one.
Green. Yeah, greeny blue. Very rough.
Very.
So it's, imagine an A4 sheet of that.
Okay.
They give you that to put over your Jack and Danny. That's it.
In the tanning or in the smear?
We're in the smear now.
Sorry.
So you're laid down. You've taken off your trousers.
But hang on, why'd you put that over your Jack and Danny? Because that's the reason they're there.
But yes, I know, but I think... And then when they come in, they take it straight off. But it's like this brief moment where we all pretend that we're not being nude.
Yes.
And then they take it off.
Is there an equivalent of that in food preparation, actually?
In food prep?
Well,
you know, like when they put... Well, what are they called? You've probably got them at your house, your fancy. When probably. You have like a silver tray and then you take the
like
lid
a cloche,
off.
Like a cloche for your vagina.
A cloche for your cloche.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a silver service.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice, that is.
Yeah. So what, anyway, what I've started doing
they
now
wear
is
white gloves.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I say, start from the out and work your way in. Anyway, now I take my own cloche. And it's
much now
better.
You do. Do you really take your own cloche?
No, of course not.
Oh.
Imagine if I took a cloche to a smear. You only go once every 3 years. You wouldn't get the use out of it.
Well, it's yes, but you could use it for dinner parties. The cloche.
Oh, I don't think you'd like that, Tom, would you? If I brought out my smear cloche and had your
just
chicken
don't
under
tell
it.
You don't know what I've done with the serving platter. Nobody needs
I
to
love
know.
That play.
I know. Farce.
Of course. What else would
course,
it be?
Of course. So have you just... So the are you just back from Latitude?
Latitude. I am back from Latitude, yes.
So you went to Latitude the weekend just gone and you were in Beefs the weekend before?
Yeah, get me.
Well, I don't know what I think about this. It's a bit
Tom,
much,
haven't been away, haven't been away since before COVID.
Then really?
Twice. Yeah, I've been away since before COVID. Yeah, no, other than for work.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And wow. To be fair to myself, I was working.
Oh no, I'm only joking.
I know you were.
So you're always working. But,
she works. She works hard for her money.
But did you stay? You stayed over, didn't you? All of you went.
Well, yes, but I didn't. Me, Alice, the baby. We all went to Latchode with our friend and agent Flo and her family.
Oh, Flo, was Flo there?
We went all together and stayed in a little hotel.
Flo's family as well.
With Flo's family.
Oh,
yes.
You stayed in a hotel.
Yeah, we did.
I did have this. I think I did talk to her about this. Yes. Okay. I was going to say.
I'm not a natural camper, and I think with a 3-year-old, it would have made it tougher for me.
I mean, I can't imagine the six of you enjoying camping.
It was also so muddy. It was an absolute washout. But here's the cute thing. The baby saw me do stand-up for the first time.
Oh, what did the baby say?
Well, of course,
full
she
review.
Didn't understand
full
it
review.
All.
Double or no?
Yeah, ruffled it old and new. Used her body well. She's a bit like this person. She's a bit like that person. I just like me. But, you know, a crowd pleaser, I hope. She watched and was like smiling at me the whole time. I could sort of see her out the corner of my eye. She had on some ear defenders, which is good because, you know, I'm quite blue. No, I'm not blue, but I do swear a bit. And then I came off and she went, "Mama!" And I said, "Yeah." And she went, "They clapped and then I clapped."
Oh, that's lovely.
It was really cute.
Oh,
it was really cute.
Why did the baby not start the clapping off?
I mean, I don't know, because I sort of wanted to say to her, you sort of need one person that's really into you to encourage everyone else. So if you could, fucking hell, and she got a free ticket.
She wasn't sure. And then she saw other people clapping.
And she thought, oh, I'll join in. Why not?
Oh, I bet she loved it.
But it was fun, and we saw Ramesh.
Oh, that's
which was
nice.
Lovely. And lots of other friends. Laura Smith. I don't know if you've seen Laura Smith. She makes me laugh so much. Kerry Godleyman, your friend of mine.
Everyone performing?
Yes.
Oh, nice. What day were you performing on?
I was performing on Saturday at 1:30, which was great because it just gets it done.
Yeah, because you want to then relax.
But we were planning on sticking around and relaxing, and then it poured with rain.
Oh dear, so
it poured with rain. I saw a little bit of Bridget Christie, who was just
fabulous,
fantastic. I just love her so much. And then came home, and then and saw some kids' theatre.
Oh, that's so. Did you stay both nights?
No, just on Saturday. Came back last night.
Oh, fine. Oh, that's nice.
It was very nice, actually, Tom. It was lovely.
And you stayed in a nice hotel, so it was kind of.
Do you know what we stayed in? A great hotel.
Oh,
the 5-acre barn in Suffolk. I highly recommend it.
I wonder if that was where I was supposed to stay on tour and it
fantastic
or something, or as having something done. Maybe.
I don't know, but they had two lovely dogs that you'd love, Tom.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, really lovely. I'll tell you who else stayed there.
Yeah.
Myra Dubois.
Oh, lovely.
That drag queen we love.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Oh,
I mean,
a laugh.
Just as Gareth.
Yeah.
He is off stage.
Because, I saw Gareth doing Blankety Blank the last time.
Did you?
Yeah.
I find him so funny.
So were you all three of you like in a hotel or an Airbnb?
It was in a hotel. It was like a B&B. Not an Airbnb, a B&B.
Okay.
They made us breakfast. It was lovely.
Oh, that's cute, isn't it? It's lovely up that way as well.
Really nice, actually, Tom. I'll say it. It's very nice.
Oh, yeah. It's near where my friend Alexa's from.
Oh, is it?
Beckles. Well, Beckles is...
Yes, it's right by Beckles.
Beckles, as I like to call it, Bechley.
Which, of course.
So I did a gig in the Village Hall there.
Oh, clang.
I did it like 2 years on the go or something. It had about 8 people in the audience. And there was also a... What's that Greek guitar called? Is it... I want to say bouzouki.
I was going to say sitar, but that's the Indian one.
That's an Indian one. And bouzouki, I think a bouzouki it's called. And he did
is
about...
Is that not... I'm thinking of something else.
You're thinking of...
I am thinking of that.
Bukaki.
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah. I was going to say, Tom, I think you've got the word wrong, but it's okay. It's me.
I don't think anybody did that.
Talk
that
me
he
through
wasn't
the gig
good.
When you say
not
it
that he
tour.
Wasn't good.
Well, you know, Tom, it takes all sorts.
It takes all sorts, especially up that way.
Talk me through the Village Hall gig.
Well, all
you
I'll
get
say
there,
is, you get
you realise it's not packed.
It's not packed. This was a gig. I was supposed to do a gig. It was a lineup show.
Yeah.
Do you know who you were on with? Any memories? No. Oh, somebody who, she was very nice, who I think did the something like the new or the news on Look East, which is one of the East Anglia news services.
And then did stand up as well.
Did hosting, nice hosting. Right. And I think she was very nice. I can't remember her name. She also sometimes played the fairy in one of the pantomimes.
Sure.
And when we walked in, there was a box on the side full of onions and vegetables. And it said, help yourself. Cabbages. It said, help yourself. And I don't know if it was somebody who had a glut in their garden or their allotment and just wanted people to take them, or if they were given out with a view to being thrown. But they weren't. And so that's that.
And you thought that gig happened once, and you thought you play it once on the way up, once on the way down.
And I did it twice.
Consecutive years.
So, you know, I'm like a concertina. I'm like a Louvre-dor.
Going
up and down.
Back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
The second time you went, was there more than 8 people?
The second time there were a few more.
Do you remember that gig we did at Blackheath Halls to about 7 people?
Yes, of course. I do remember that. And then it was Christmas. And we went to a party straight afterwards. I can't remember where. We went to a party.
Oh, we did go to a party. Whose party was it?
Was it maybe... Well, this is great podcast, isn't it?
This is really good podcasting. It was telling the listener about a party that we went to that we can't remember and they won't know who hosted.
I think it was... Oh, I can't... No, I can't remember now. It was fun,
maybe like
though.
Amy Annette and Nish.
I feel like Amy Annette was there. Fun times, though. Fun times.
None of these things matter, but we went to a gig. There was no one there. And then we went back the following year and we were toured there.
And that was full.
And it sold out.
Yeah.
And it was like literally 12 months.
And somebody shouted out that my jacket was too small. But...
What at the tour show?
Yes. But they were from Bromley. That's the home crowd for you. They will be on it. My home crowd is honest. I suppose I've got to be grateful for that.
I don't know. I think that's very rude.
Yeah.
Also... Just to pick up on what we talked about last week,
yeah.
I watched your clip from this morning. I thought you looked great.
Oh, please. That's very nice of you. But I thought you looked great. It's not a flattering angle. It's not a flattering angle. I'll own it.
Well, they had shot you from the bottom.
Who filmed somebody from the upper thigh?
I don't know. This morning.
This morning, too, apparently. It was like they were closing up on the ankle folded under the quads.
Your quads.
Well, I flatter myself.
Now, Tom, we've had some correspondence.
Oh, well, is there time? Go on. Yes. What's
is that okay?
Yes. So, but all I was going to say is,
yes,
shout
sorry,
out
please.
To at the play last week.
Yeah.
Lovely. I had a few people who are her like-minded friends, fans of the podcast,
nice.
Came to say hello. Jamie came to say hello and recommended that I get... one of those, you know, when we go to the Black Eyed Peas, mm-hmm. which I still haven't bought the tickets for.
Of course you haven't.
In Preston Park. But recommended that I get one of those stools that's like folded out from three sticks. You know, like people have.
Yeah.
For
granddad.
But old people, yeah. That I should get one of those. So I can stand and sit at the same time. And I thought that's a great idea.
A great idea.
And I said I would shout out for that great advice.
Also, Jamie. Whenever I hear the name Jamie, I want to sing, Jamie is over and Jamie is gone. Do you know that musical?
That's what Alfie, that was the first show Alfie and I went to see together. The last five years?
Oh, it's such a good show.
Such a good show.
Listen to it on Instagram. On Instagram? On Spotify.
On Instagram.
God.
With Norman Leo Butts.
What did you call me? Hello, Susie and Tom. I listen to the podcast every week on my Wednesday commute. Yeah. Half on the way in, half on the way home. My commute isn't that short.
About. What did you do? Who are you, the Okie Kokie?
But I do podcasts for the bus and books for the tube. I'm at work on Wednesdays and therefore midway through the week for the pod. I got to the part where Tom was talking about the comments he received on his appearance on This Morning. Oh, I didn't realise this is where I was going. And was aghast.
Aghast.
What people think is feels okay to say. So wrong. I watched the clips and I can't put into words how much I love Tom. I think he's completely fabulous. I love the moustache and I love the tan. So tanned. I love you too, Susie. Obvs. And a side note, I thought I'd walk past Ed Gamble today on my bus home. If not, he has a doppelganger that works right near where I do. Many thanks and best wishes, Sean.
Sean, what a lovely
Sean,
message.
Thanks so much.
I feel like I was a bit needy saying about that. It didn't matter.
No,
really.
Don't be daft.
It didn't matter, but it was, you know, it's one of those things. We can, you know, slings and arrows, doesn't matter, they fall off us.
There was a very, very, I know, I mean, it's literally the, like, I mean, we're already the bottom of the pit of podcasting, but to make it even worse, I'm going to talk about a meme on a podcast, but there was a very funny thing that went viral that someone had shared saying that they said to their little brother was getting picked on at school, and they said, now, you know the saying, sticks and stones might break my bones. And then he said, but whips and chains excite me, which is the Rihanna song. No, that's not what I was doing.
Didn't say that to them. That's very funny.
This one begins. This is from Jen. Love from Toronto to you both.
Toronto. Hello.
My mum, Eileen, has requested Another One Bites the Dust at her funeral.
Oh, brilliant one.
She also suggested that her casket be carried out to the bridge of Come On, Eileen.
I mean, naturally.
She add Heaven to the playlist.
Oh, lovely. Lovely list. Thank you for getting in touch from Toronto. Isn't that
yes, thanks so much.
I love the international listeners. I often think that would have been fun to play at my grandmother's funeral. I mean, she was quite strictly Roman Catholic. I don't think that would have gone down particularly well with the nuns there at St. Joseph's Church in Bromley, Sandridge Park, if you know it. Father Arbo did the service. Wonderful, wonderful priest.
Don't know him personally.
You'd love them. I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't the sort of, you know, a Wednesday Requiem Mass isn't always the time to
pop on Common Eileen.
To pop on, what are they called who sung it? Dexys Midnight Runners.
I think that was the one.
Dexys Midnight Runners, yeah.
We've got more. Dearest Susie and Tom, I know I'm a little late to the funeral party. I have every intention of emailing in last week, but you know how life goes. I have a small story that I felt was just too fitting not to share. When I was about 15, we sadly lost my granddad, known as Granddad Wrinkly, to lung cancer. He was a chain smoker his whole life and had a wicked sense of humour. It came to the day of his funeral and we were sat in the church being solemn and sad, as one tends to be in this particular setting. The church person finishes their speech and the curtain slowly begins to close around the coffin. He was cremated. The music starts, an odd, upbeat country song. How weird. I look at my sister. We didn't know he liked country. It continued, and the jovial lyrics start, "Roll me up and smoke me when I die." There is silence in the room. The cheeky bugger decided it would be hilarious to choose the song "Roll Me Up" by Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg. No, I'm not joking. It has Snoop Dogg in it. Lyrics fantastic. Including those such as, "Hey, take me out and build a roaring fire. Just roll me in the flames for an hour. Roll me up and smoke me when I die." Let me tell you, it was the most confusing 3 minutes and 25 seconds of my life. I think every single person in that room didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Even to this day, nearly 10 years on, I wonder if it was a fever dream. Lots of love to you, wonderful people. And that's from Becky.
Becky, that's so funny.
I love that. How brilliant to know you're getting a laugh on the way out.
I know. That is good, isn't it? That is a good way to go.
Susie and Tom, I was listening to your recent podcast, The Wicker Chair episode, and loved your talk about songs for funerals, a terrific segment that got me thinking, but I digress. So when the two of you began talking about scars from steaming trousers while wearing them, you two sounded like, and I don't know who these people are, so hopefully you'll know, Geraldine McEwan and Nigel Hawthorne from the 1985 Map and Lucius.
Man in the House. Oh, Map and Lucia.
Map and Lucia series. Oh my effing God, you nearly made me wet myself from laughter.
Oh, I don't know if you know, my friend Monica will know that series.
But can you text Monica and find out?
I will find out because she's a big Nigel Havers fan and Geraldine McEwan. One of my favourites of them. She's the only Marple I will accept in the modern lexicon.
In the modern era.
Of Marples, post Joan Hickson. Joan Hickson for me is
the queen.
It's the queen.
I adore you too, and when I listen to you while fixing breakfast, it's like you've popped over for a tea. Thanks for being my like-minded friends. You truly make my day each time. Keep up the good work. Lots of love from Troy in New York.
New York? Queerly with a name yours. Like Troy. Queerly yeah. yours. That's very,
very
funny.
Good.
Very nice. Very. That's nice. I can see that at the bottom of the letter. Lovely. Lovely.
Love
Troy.
It.
Lovely love Troy. It. To be called Troy, to live in New York. Oh, my goodness.
Imagine.
Like a character in a book. Wonderful.
Imagine.
Oh, to be. Oh, to be Troy.
To be Troy. Imagine such a thing.
Was Troy just talking about Geraldine McEwan there? And yes. Nigel Havers?
Yeah.
So I wonder if Map and Lucia went out in America.
Well, it must have, surely.
But then I was always surprised when I went to New York and people were like, oh, I love that show with the, you know, the woman, she's got a hat on and she's always saying, Richard. And
Keeping Up Appearances.
And I thought that would never translate, but it does. And also Dame Judi Dench.
Of course.
And Jeffrey Palmer in As Time Goes By, which I always found quite depressing because it was on a Sunday night.
Yes, it does have that vibe, doesn't it?
Alfie's got me watching 2.4 Children.
Oh!
Did you watch that? Mm.
Yeah. 2.4 Children. God, you two really go retro, don't you?
We do. Often we will watch Victoria Wood's Dinner Ladies. But,
oh, I love.
So good. That does really endure.
Stand up. It really does.
Stands up.
And I have to say the same with Acorn Antiques.
Oh, yeah. So funny.
So good.
So funny. Those are seen on TV when they are so good.
Oh, so brilliant.
But it's nice to
anyone listening in the North. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's so funny. So funny. Stupid. So many funny sketches.
No, Tom, you're going to be in.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, go on, Dave, go on.
No, all I was going to say is 2.4 Children is quite interesting because it sort of has a dramatic, every episode is kind of like a little play. So it has a sort of dramatic arc. But I don't remember, also you realise like they didn't kind of amp up the laughter then. So there are bits where it just doesn't really get to laugh, but it's quite nice. It's quite refreshing.
Yeah, that's quite endearing, isn't it?
You're not like, ah, with all the laughing coming out of the screen. Susie?
Yes?
I can't believe you mentioned Ibiza and didn't divulge any of the fun of it.
We had a lovely time.
Did you go to the nightclubs?
I went to one nightclub. Tom, I felt so old.
Did you take your jade roller?
I didn't take my jade roller. Well, I brought it on the way home, didn't I?
Oh,
it was full of 18-year-olds that I think had taken quite a lot of illegal substances.
Oh,
and
damn. Oh, no.
They... Do you know what, Tom? I found it quite worrying. I was in there and I was like, oh, are these children okay? I didn't have the fun party night I was hoping for. Lots of quite young people.
Well, with that attitude, yes, you're unlikely to. I mean,
let's yeah. There were some girls in there that I thought, where are your friends? Are you okay?
Oh, yeah.
But they were all Spanish and I don't speak Spanish, so I just left. So I was no use at all.
Come on.
Collage of teal? No, that won't help. But I had a very nice time.
Because I remember when you went before, I thought, I should experience that probably. But you went to one of the big Uber clubs and you said it was fantastic.
Yes, we went to the same club, but I think we went on the wrong night. Or it's just changed a lot since COVID, or it was busier. Or it was about 6 or 7 years ago when we first went.
Well, whatever one of those answers it is. It's
whatever one of those answers is.
You'll find a new place to go. I don't anticipate. You know, I'm 40 now, Susie.
Of course.
I still want to go out sometimes. I still want to have a lovely, sparkling time.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, I think the difference is one becomes a bit more discerning as one gets older, doesn't one?
I think so.
So you go, actually, I don't like this.
This isn't me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just more, you know yourself. What were the toilets like? Were they clean?
Oh, Tom, I had to queue for so fucking long for a wee.
Oh no. Oh, no. Absolutely
not. Didn't like it
at all.
And it was full of very young people that I think had had quite a lot of work done. Very young girls that had quite a lot of work done. And it made me worry.
When you say work done, do you mean preparation for maybe a degree?
Preparation H.
Oh, what's preparation H?
I think it's hemorrhoid cream.
Oh. Apparently that's very good under your eye. No, I don't know if that's true. I shouldn't. Please don't try it. Please don't try it.
Well, I'm using a jade roller. I meant to put some anisole on that.
Yeah, treat yourself. Yeah, belt and braces.
But what I was going to say was there was quite a lot of girls that had quite a lot of lip filler.
Oh, okay.
It's not good.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I don't want to judge people,
now?
But I just want to go up and put my arm around them and say, you're perfect as you are.
You're perfect as you are. Well,
but, you know.
I mean, is that, I mean, I don't know enough about it, but I have noticed, yes, you see a lot more of that sort of stuff around. But is it, you know, to certain people, is that just the same as like getting a brace on your teeth or getting a haircut?
Well, yeah, I guess so. It's just when they're very, very young, you think. God, that's going to be a lot to keep up if you want to keep your lips that big for your whole life.
Oh, yeah. What happened? Do they, if, when they go down, do they go back to how they were? Or
I've got no idea. I don't really know how it works.
I don't know how it all works.
I worry.
Well, that's lovely that you worry. Probably that wasn't particularly...
That probably wasn't the vibe to take into a nightclub, was it?
Yeah, that might not have been the vibe. Were there nice seats? Were there sort of seating areas?
No, Tom. No, Tom.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And there were like dancers on stilts, and I watched one boy.
That's a health and safety nightmare.
Really, who was... had maybe taken something quite illegal and probably had taken too much of whatever was illegal. And he looked very frightened of this skeleton that was on stilts. And at that point I thought, you know what? I don't think I'm in the space for this.
No. What I like is staying in and having a nice cup of herbal tea. That's
I'm watching Dinner Ladies.
I'm watching Dinner Ladies or Miss Marple.
Yes, that's the thing. It's not really for me. I didn't even drink much when I was out there. I had a couple of glasses of wine every night. And I'm not... I don't like feeling drunk. I used to like getting drunk, but now I like feeling tipsy and nothing else.
Well, that's lovely. That's I've been nice, trying to cut down on booze a bit, actually.
Have you?
Felt a lot sharper for it. I've been trying to drink more water. Mm. And last week, I was drinking like 3 litres a day at one point.
Oh, Tom, we're very proud.
Thank you.
Should we have one more email and then we'll go?
I'd love that.
Tom, you mentioned once that you liked sage and maybe in the same program that you liked pizza. Have you ever tried them together?
What?
In my mind, sage has always belonged with roast chicken or turkey. However, on a whim, when the basil looked sad, I picked some whole leaves from the sage plant and arranged them on top of my pizza before putting it in the oven.
What?
Even after 60 years of cooking, my experiments can go badly amiss. Mm. So I was pleasantly surprised at how delicious this was.
Oh, what lovely
I
news.
Think it's roasted sage on melted cheese. Would brighten up the old grilled cheese sandwich as well.
Oh, I bet it would.
I value very much how much the two of you create an oasis of lovely calmness, amusing banter and normality to this chaotic world. Oh, with goodness. Warm regards, Janine.
Janine, thank you for those kind words. And thank you for that lovely suggestion of what to do with sage. Because I was burning sage, I think, a bit in Crete. I like that. Smudging.
But, smudging, yes, of course. Getting rid of those demons.
Yeah, I was just trying to, you know, shake off some demons. But I did. And once they'd gone, I thought, yes, what can I do? Because I know you can make a nice sage butter sometimes to go with a pasta parcel.
Oh, yum. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. I've had a pizza that had gorgonzola with sage on it.
Well,
what's on that?
Well, I can be a bit shy around a blue cheese. But
well, of course you can. I forget that.
In the right mood, I could be taken. Was it lovely?
It was really nice.
Was that in Ibiza?
You know me, I love a... No. That was just in Brighton. You know, you can get all the things in Brighton now.
You can get it all. What were you going to say? You know me, I... And I cut you off. I'm sorry.
Love a bit of blue cheese.
You do like a bit of blue cheese, don't you? Yeah. A Danish blue. Would you have a Danish blue?
I'd have any blue cheese with quite a gusty red.
Well, that's the dream, isn't it? It's that sort of thing that I wish I did like, but I just can't bring myself to like.
Well, if you try harder.
Yeah.
If only you'd commit.
Yes, when will I commit to blue cheese? But that does sound nice on a pizza. Yes, sorry.
May I do a quick, brief plug?
Oh, of course. Don't even do it brief.
Just to let people know, if they're interested, you might be absolutely sick of me podcasting, and if you are, fair play.
Susie,
but
please.
If I am doing a very short, like month-long podcast with Maisie Adam, who is a dear friend of mine and Tom's, and if you're interested in the Women's World Cup, Maisie is a massive football fan, and I'm quite new to being a football fan, I think, because... growing up, I felt like it maybe wasn't for me, or I found it a bit overwhelming because I think that it can be a place where there's homophobia thrown around. And I always very much felt like it wasn't for me. However, during the in the Women's Euros the year before last, I got very into it, loved it. And Maisie is a massive football fan and massively into the women's game. And so we are doing a podcast where I'm learning every match a little bit more about the game, and we're watching the England matches together, and then we're podcasting about them. We're putting 2 episodes out a week. And so if you're someone like me who is quite new to football, but you love the idea of getting into it, but you feel a bit in the dark, it's for you. But also if you're a massive fan like Maisie, she's bringing loads of top tips for what's actually going on in different squads, who different people play for. And yeah, it's 2 20-minute podcasts a week, and we're really enjoying doing it. And it would be lovely to have as many people as possible listening. So if you feel like that might be for you, we'd love you to listen.
Well, who wouldn't like to listen to that? And it's called A Kick in the Dick or something?
No, Big Kick Energy.
Big Kick Energy. There you go.
Thank you for encouraging me to say the title, Tom.
And it's also in conjunction with an outlet, isn't it? With a media outlet?
It's with Vibrant, who are a new production company who are very lovely.
Lovely. Well, I think that's going to be a huge success, Suze, especially...
Well, I just...
More and more
like,
people are, you know, loving.
Yeah, and like, I think there's something... I found, and I know that you like going to the football, but I found that sometimes with the men's game, you feel like you can't ask any questions.
Oh, God,
because if you ask questions, it's like, oh, what, don't you know about the guy? Whereas, because, you know, Maisie and I are obviously very good friends, and Maisie's a very nice person, but I can say to her, like, I don't understand why that penalty was given. What is that?
You're generous, isn't she? Yeah.
You know, we go through that sort of stuff, and... I think because lots of people are coming to the women's game at the same time, I think it's, you know, it's quite exciting to hear the background of our lionesses and where they've come from. And Maisie knows sort of their history. We've got one, a girl who plays for the Seagulls in Brighton has been called up, and she's
really
currently out in Australia, Kate Robinson, which is very exciting. Oh. We've got a couple of very young players, and, you know, it's a very exciting time for the lionesses, and so I'm very excited to learn more. And if maybe you are too, then hopefully you'd like that podcast as well.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure everyone will, myself included. It's great because actually I haven't been following because I know we're still at the group stages.
We are indeed
in the World Cup at the moment, but I would like to get more into it this year. So I will be listening. I think that's a great idea and a great way to approach it, because I think it can sometimes feel a bit intimidating if one is not, you know, a long term fan. Because a lot of people like. Get into football when they're bought, like their family just, there's no question, you like football and that's it. But if you're not like that, then it can be
Feel a bit daunting.
Feel a bit daunting.
Oh, also worth noting, we've made it so it's completely PG, so there's no swear words in it. So if you've got a 10-year-old daughter that's quite into it, maybe she'd like to listen, or son, doesn't have to be a girl, son or daughter, but if you want to listen to it in the car with young people, there's no swearing in it, and it's very family friendly.
They can fucking listen.
You can imagine how hard it is for me not swearing. I don't bloody stop, do I?
But oh, that's great. Oh, that's lovely. That'll be nice. What a nice thing to do. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, we'll be in touch next week, won't we, Tom?
Suze, we will be in touch next week. Don't you worry about that. And that will be just before we go to the Black Eyed Peas.
It will be. It'll be just before we go to Pride, which is very exciting. Tom, you're also covering Chris Evans this week on Virgin, if people want to tune in early.
Yes, 6:30 till 10 a.m. every morning on Virgin Radio. Yes.
Early start?
It is an early start. Makes me go to bed early. And
that's good.
It's lovely. Yes, it's a lovely team of people I'm there with. And we have a right laugh. So if you fancy that in the morning... Sorry.
Once more, darling. Once more we're feeling, and don't hiccup halfway through. I've stopped drinking.
I know. Now
I'm just drinking water.
If you fancy that, then please do join us.
Please do.
Please join us.
Okay. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. And we can't wait to catch up with you next week.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye-bye. Bye-bye-bye. Bye-bye-bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.